Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got info on the Detroit game right after they scored their empty netter. I think it happened pretty close together. But I was pulling them. I'm pulling them. And that was the right time to pull them. Didn't know anything was going on with Detroit at that time. But immediately after that, our video guys told us that Detroit just went to overtime.
John Tortorella on last night's wild kind of finish in Washington. It's like the Flyers got eliminated twice. They gave up the empty netter in a tie game, which would have ended it, basically.
And they're the jerks that ruined the playoff race.
And then they're told it was over anyway because Detroit got a point.
Right.
Paul Hamilton joins us. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Were you watching that craziness last night?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Yesterday I think I had 2 hours sleep when I had talked to you, and then everything broke loose, and I think by the time that all went on, I was asleep in my chair.
Yeah. Well, the playoffs await, and the Sabres will miss, the Red Wings will miss, the Flyers will miss, and we got a good dose of Kevin Adams yesterday. Paul, what was your takeaway from Kevin Adams' press conference? For me, it was a lot about his tone. I thought he had, you don't get trophies for this. There's no banner to hang. There's no playoff spot because of it. But I appreciated the way the GM sounded. It to me was a different tone than he's really taken all that often.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was genuinely angry, and I think that fans needed to see that because they're angry, and so is he. And I think he was honest with the fans in what he was saying, and I don't think he was trying to set a tone, but I think he showed the fans that, hey, this is unacceptable, and I had something to do with it too, just like Don Granato did and everybody else. And it was an emotional decision for him, I think, to fire Don Granato. It's not something that I think he wanted to do, but it was something, I think he, once the season ended, or I think he had decided before the season ended, but once the season got to maybe 1 or 2 weeks towards the end, I think he realized it was something that he needed to do for the organization to take the next step. And, he was agitated throughout that press conference. He was blunt, and I thought he was honest. And, for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Did you have the same takeaway that I did, Paul, that it sounded like when Adams would be asked about what he wants in the next head coach, that he almost has a maybe like an individual in mind, even maybe more so than the type of coach? Like it sounded like to me he's got a person in mind every time he was talking about it.
Yeah, I think he does. He basically said that he's got he knows what he wants in the next coach, and it didn't sound like it's going to take a long time to do it. And so definitely, but I think it seems like Michael Pekka or Seth Appert or David Carl, the coach at Denver, who's won two NCAA championships plus the gold medal at the World Junior. It seems like guys like that are out of the running because they don't have NHL coaching experience.
So, Paul, the names, right? You let me know if I miss one and if you want to give a thought on them. Lindy, of course, is a name. There's the nostalgia, the relationship with the organization, and he's coached a lot of different teams. Craig Berube, I know he's been looking to get back into coaching. Bruce Boudreau, Gerard Gallant. Brind'Amour is going to be a name until he signs an extension. Am I forgetting anyone? And if I'm not, then who do you like? What's the right answer?
I think if Brind'Amour does not re-sign, I think there would be an excellent chance. I would be surprised if he wasn't the new head coach of the Sabres if he doesn't re-sign with Carolina. I mean, he's very good friends with Kevin Adams. He's won a Stanley Cup with him as players. And I think that's what he has in mind when he's, you know, thinking of a coach to move forward. But the question is, you know, is he going to re-sign with Carolina, or is a new opportunity something that he would look forward to? If he's not available, I think Craig Berube, who, won the Stanley Cup in St. Louis, he took over, and they went from last place in January in the National Hockey League to winning the Stanley Cup. And, after that, he was in the playoffs a couple of times, but it just never approached that. You know, he kind of set the bar really high in his first year there, and it was never that. And then finally, he was let go. He also was coached for a couple of years with the Philadelphia Flyers, if you remember. So, but he knows what it takes to win the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. He coached a team that did win the Stanley Cup. And of all the people that you mentioned, for me, if it's not Brind'Amour, that would be probably be the guy I would turn to.
On Brind'Amour, do you think, and Adams, I'm trying to think like exactly, I could pull up the quotes, when he was asked about like timing, or he even offered up comments about like, you know, how quickly he might want to do this. Do you think they would wait for Brind'Amour if he had it in his head that that's like the best idea? It could be, Paul, that, I mean, if Carolina goes on a run, they don't have to. I mean, they play the Islanders in round one. They'll be a favorite. And so they could be out in a couple weeks, or they could be out in, you know, we could be talking a month and a half, 2 months before Brind'Amour would become available.
He never said this, but I think he waited for Brind'Amour before he hired Don Granato. It was, you know, all indications were that Brind'Amour was going to resign for Carolina. Could have been coincidence, but Don Granato was hired within a couple of days after Brind'Amour put his name down on the dotted line. So, I'm not in the room. Could have been coincidence, but I'm not sure it was. You know, I think he just wanted to make sure that Brind'Amour was signing with Carolina, and I think he would do that again if, you know, it was taking a while. I think unless Rod Brind'Amour just absolutely tells him, no, I would not come there or something like that, I think, yes, he would wait until he was signed.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Highlands. Get some calls in for Paul. Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Paul, all the years I've called, I think this is the first time I've ever had a chance to talk to you, so it's kind of an honor for me, bud.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you called.
Before I get to my point on Adams, and I'd love to get your take on this, Paul, and the guys as well, I just want to give Granato some credit, you know, for, you know, coming in and help develop Dahlin, or at least to get Dahlin to play like he can play. For him to score 20 goals is pretty remarkable. To do what he did with Thompson, like you said earlier, Joe, he's now an elite goal scorer. I know it's a down year, and what he's done with Cousins, again, down year, but I'm really impressed with how he had the staying power with UPL, because we are all ready to say see you later after last year. But even after the beginning of the year, he had the fortitude to stay with UPL, and look what he's become. So I just want to give Granato some credit. I still think it was the right call. It should have happened sooner. So I'd love to get your take on his press conference yesterday. Yes, I did love his tone. He was aggravated. He was frustrated. He's saying all the right things, except for one thing, and maybe, Paul, you can give some insight on this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He said right from the beginning, day one of training camp, he really wasn't, I don't want to use the same words because I don't remember his exact words, but he seemed like he wasn't happy from day one but in the same breath said he didn't think moving on from Granato was the right move. So there's two things that concern me here. I think in order for Adams to save himself, he's got to hit a home run with this next coach, and he's also got to hit a home run with either a forward or a defenseman. Now, the defenseman that I really wanted last year was Chickering, and the fact that we didn't get that done and he ended up in Ottawa, which really bothers me because Ottawa, in my opinion, is in worse shape than we are. And Chickering at the time did not have a no-trade clause, if I remember correctly, and his numbers were great. So I think I'm nervous about Adams and the roster build, and I'm also nervous that he said that we really shouldn't have moved on from Granato, but yet he wasn't happy with day one. And I'd love to get your take, fellas.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, Paul, I had someone point that out to me, and I like that question. The standard wasn't high enough day one of training camp. How can that happen?
Yeah. I mean, he wants a higher standard. He had talked about that, you know, and he what he did say was, the way he put it is, he wanted to give this team every opportunity, like they would get close and before those two Detroit games. And he wanted to give this team every opportunity to prove that they could do it. And, you know, they couldn't do it. And but the one quote that I really took away, there were two actually, but this one was, we are craving accountability and structure, and I think the team is ready for that. With the next coach we get, it'll be at the top of the list for me. And you spent all year craving accountability and structure. He's not wrong at all. I agree 100% that there needs to be more structure and accountability. And but he looked at it that, you know, he was being patient. He tends to be more patient than maybe fans want to see in what he does, and he wanted to be patient, and he wanted to give them every opportunity to perform and be able to do it. And when they didn't do it, that's when he, you know, I think changed his mind. I don't think he was planning on firing Granato until it got down near the end of the season, and I think he changed his mind and decided, you know what, I have to do this. I have to do this to get to the next step, and he did.
Paul, how did you take in Kevin Adams' answer to your question about being tougher to play against? His comment about more abrasiveness in the bottom six, like I think that comment is going to stick in my mind leading up to whenever free agency, whenever they'll start making trades. He talked about not, you know, wanting to sacrifice speed and skill, but him talking about the bottom six that way makes me think he's going to be looking for a certain type of player for one of those depth forward spots.
Yeah, well, he was talking about there's a couple of different ways to be hard to play against, and he's right. You can be hard to play against if you have speed and skill and teams can't keep up with you, and that makes you hard to play against. But he also talked about what I was meaning, that, you know, you want to other teams to be miserable playing you. You want them to come into your arena and not want to be there. And say, oh, we got to play that team again, that they're relentless, you know, type of a thing. And that's not what happens. And he said, he goes, we have to be a team that, you know, is good in our home rink, that wins. He goes, you can't go anywhere or be in the playoffs if you can't win at home. And, you know, he wants other teams to come into their rink and dread having to play that team. And you know, you got the skill part of it. And how long have we been talking about this? I mean, I've been saying for how long that this team is not constructed correctly. You know, they need more guys that are harder to play against and that other teams don't want to play against. And, you know, he has to be more than one guy. I mean, they got to get two or three of those guys.
And he also, Paul, like, said that almost pretty specifically about Dylan Cousins, right? Like, He said other things about Cousins, but one comment he made was that he wants the other center to think that it was miserable going against 24 all night. Like, I think in terms of the guys that are already here and in the top six, like, Adam sounded to me like he really wants Cousins to grow into a player like that.
Well, that's when I had asked him about, when you sit down and think about your players this summer, how do you know what you have? Like in Thompson, do you have a 47-goal score or do you have a 29-goal score? In Tuck, do you have a 36-goal score or 22? In Cousins, do you have a 31-goal score or 18? and Cousins was an example he used. And he said if Cousins like gets himself up to 25 goals and is a good two-way player who's, you know, and he talks about being a miserable guy to play against. He goes, you don't necessarily have to get 31 goals out of him. You know, if that's the type of player he turns into, and you know, that makes him difficult to play against. And teams won't look forward to playing against him. So, so those are the examples he was using with Dylan Cousins of, you know, just being the guy. He goes, in each individual, he goes, it's a good question, but he goes, with each individual, you have to sit down and want, okay, why did this happen? Why did they not have as many goals? What were the contributing factors to it? You know, when you're trying to think, what do you got? You know, what kind of player do you have there? You know, and Tage Thompson, well, he broke his hand. And when he came back, he wasn't 100%. Well, you know, once he got going near the end of the year, I think I had written he was on a 43-goal pace, I think, in the last 16, 17 games before getting injured again in the last game, which is more like what he was when he scored 47. You know, he was pretty much on that pace. So, you know, you saw – now, you know, I always thought he could be a 50-goal scorer. Maybe that was too much. Maybe he's a guy that would settle in between 40 and 45 most years, which is fine. I mean, if you're a 40-45-goal scorer, you're good with Tage Thompson, I would think.
Paul, players speak today. Which player are you most interested to hear what they have to say?
Well, Dahlin was the most upset, you know, when you know, they talked about when the fans were, you know, chanting that they wanted Don Granato fired. But I think players have to, I think they will understand and they will realize that nobody to blame but themselves when it comes to, you know, their coach being fired. They didn't produce for him. They didn't play for him. When, you know, the things that he asked them to do, I don't know if they were capable of doing, or but they just couldn't for 2 years. The system he wanted to play, they, for the most part, couldn't play it. And, you know, when that happens and, you know, you can't do that, there's going to be changes. And so really I think the players have to look at it that if they're upset, and I think they will be, that Don Granato got fired, I think they have nobody to blame but themselves.
We will be listening for your reports later. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton's appearance brought to you by Railax Honda. Railax, we got this. More of your calls when we get back. Also, when we get back, I have to do a little reading in the break. Joe, the article says, inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt.
I've already skimmed through a little
There's
of it.
There's some juicy, juicy stuff in here.
There is for sure some good
very,
stuff.
Very interesting. Don Fanata writing for ESPN, it appears. So we'll check in on that. We'll
get him as well as, sorry, Seth Wickersham and Jeremy Fowler. Like three reporters are all going in on like why Belichick didn't get hired.
All right. We'll visit that. More of your calls as well. 803-0550. Sabres coach search underway with Kevin Adams speaking yesterday. Players speak today, cleaning out lockers today and tomorrow. We'll hear from the players. So stay tuned for Paul's reports throughout the morning here and afternoon on WGR.